my bedtime. I taught OSL on Thursday night, and I was like, my body's on strike, my brain's on strike, my hair's on strike. Just give me some grace, everybody. So let's see. We had a whole bunch of teammates that were here at the 5 o'clock service. Who's here? 7. Pam, Rachel, Jewel, there we go. These guys are my heroes. They are absolutely my heroes. They have poured themselves out. They prepared, they worked, they gave, they left it all on the field. And I think we're only beginning to see the fruit of what God did during that trip. So let me see if I can get organized here. I kept going like this in the last service. I'll try not to do that this time. So I want to ask you two questions, rhetorically. First, what can God do with 11 very ordinary but brave and faith-filled women when they just really step outside of their comfort zones and lay it all down in obedience and unity to Jesus? That's the first one. Second, exactly how much can you pack into 10 days? Okay, I'm going to try to give you a glimpse of the answers to both of those things, but I will just tell you, we had so much fun. So much fun. We got to do 5 women's conferences, same theme as ours was in October, Living Water. And we just enjoyed that incredibly, just some of the pictures of some of the churches and conferences. We also got to visit 3 of our East River Haiti churches, which have all outgrown their buildings. This year, have had to expand. I know, nice problem to have, huh? This is Pastor Daniel, our first servant leader. His church, you can see inside, it's light, it's spacious. They've got a floor, a concrete floor instead of dirt. And in all of these churches, it's just like people are seeing in the community that Jesus is so beautiful, and they see the light, and they want to come, and they're just packing the places out. So we keep helping them build bigger churches. This is Pastor Doucette and his mom and his uncle, who was the founding pastor, and a couple of his brothers. And you can see East River Church. They had to expand to make room for guests. You just never know who's going to come to church in Haiti. So much fun. This is another one of our East River churches in Tuapoto, and our very tenacious pastor, who's 3 months, is the longest a pastor has ever lasted in that area, and he's going on, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. You can see he's a man of God, and we had to build his church out bigger too, as you can see. Oh, I was going to mention, these were women's conferences, but as you can see from this picture, it's not just women that came. We have in our mind, you know, what we're going to do. We're going to go and teach women, and God has all these other amazing ideas, and we just get to go with the flow of what the Spirit is doing. So, I want to talk about Woodley. This is Woodley, both on the left and the right, but I like that picture better, where he's smiling. He was our driver. Okay, we rent what's called a tap-tap to get us around, and a driver comes with it, and so he spends all day every day with us. And the first day, he sat in the back of our women's conference, and when the day was over, he fell to his knees, weeping in tears, saying, "What you have in Jesus, I want and I need." It was beautiful. We prayed with him. He confessed his, He confessed his self-reliance, really, and his failures and his pain, and accepted Jesus. So we gave him a Bible. We took the long, hot trek down to the river, singing, and it doesn't really show the grade, but it's pretty steep getting down to that river, and we baptized him. Very, very sweet. And Dina, one of our team members, decided to be baptized that same day. So, and you'll notice it looks like my hair is wet. I didn't get baptized, but in a sense we all did, because it started pouring down rain once we got there. And so essentially we all got baptized. And then we slipped and slid and laughed and sang and held hands and pulled each other through mud, I'm talking mud, to get the couple miles back home. But so worth it and so much fun. It was It was the full meal deal this Haiti team got initiated into. And then at another one of our women's conferences, Woodley stood up and, like the pastor that we think he's going to become, he talked about what Jesus has been doing in his life and how much Jesus has transformed him just in the week that we were able to be with him. So it's exciting to just go with the flow of what the Spirit's doing. Here's some of the women at our, no, some of the boys that came from the neighborhood to our women's conference. And when it was time for people to receive Jesus, these eight boys all came up to the front and gave their lives to Jesus. So, yes, Lord, keep doing your good work at your women's conferences. This really sweet couple came to one of our women's conferences, and we gave people a chance to receive Jesus, and there was just silence, crickets. But a few minutes later, this couple had walked out around the church and were calling us out the back door saying, we don't know exactly how you're supposed to do this, and we were nervous about being in front of all these people, but yes, we need Jesus. And so got to pray with them to accept Jesus. And it was so fun to work with this team. This team pushed past some nervousness and some, shyness and that sort of thing so that they could all give their stories. And they did it vulnerably and they did it with creativity. And they shared their stories of faith, how Jesus has transformed them, so that it gives permission then for other people to say, yeah, I want that same thing for my life too. Lori was talking about her experience of being filled with the Spirit and getting a prayer language, which she said she never wanted and was really nervous about. And as she shared that, everybody else became free to go, I can relate to that, but that's something I would really like. And dozens of people received that prayer language. It was really beautiful. Pam, you can see she's got a couple of buckets here. We called it the splash zone. Anybody that was sitting in the first three rows, she threw rocks and she threw garbage. She talked about how it's like what we do sometimes to pollute the living well, the living water that Jesus has for us. And it was very memorable, very memorable, especially all of us that got wet over and over and over again. But it's so fun. Pastor Carlos, feel free to use that sermon illustration anytime. Yeah. These are some pictures of the response times where we invited women to come forward to receive Jesus, to receive healing, to receive the filling of the Spirit or their prayer languages. This is Pastor Daniel at his church, and tears are running down his face as he watches what God is doing in his church. This was really fun. This was when the women got the vision or caught the idea that they are called to go out into their community and make a difference. And so out of the women's conference, we march and start going door to door and down the street and finding people on the road to pray for and people to share Jesus with and people that are sick. It was very, very exciting to see them walk it out, put feet to it and walk it out. We held babies, lots of babies, really cute babies. And we said it was so that the mommies could concentrate, you know, and not be distracted by their babies. It was a good reason to love on lots and lots of really cute babies that were at the women's conferences. And it really did actually free up the mamas to be able to fully engage and to receive what Jesus had for them. Yeah. Sorry, some of the picture quality is not real great, but you get the idea. You know, we're taking these on our iPhones. It's just fun. We were told that one of our conferences before we went, they said, expect 300 people. They're like, okay, got it. Got into the country and they said, 600. It's going to be 600. We're like, yes, Lord. And when we got there, obviously, as you can tell, that's a whole lot more than 600 people. They counted about 950, and I think they were only trying to count women, not all the men and kids that were there. It's just so fun to be a part of what God is doing. And these pictures are bad, but this is Carolyn. She is the really vibrant, passionate woman of God that put this together and is already, she's got irons in the fire for the rest of this year in ways that we can partner together to make a difference in her community. So super excited about that. Women would say over and over again, they would say, thank you for showing us value. Thank you for sitting with us, loving us, talking to us, dancing and worshiping with us. You've never been to church, so you've been to church in Haiti. I'm just saying. And they would say, you made us know that there's no difference between Haitian and American. And for people that came out of a slavery mentality, that's a really significant thing. So we were excited to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is us just showing us getting our Haitian worship on over here. That's their little tambourine, whatever kind of rhythm band going on. And so we said, we can do that. And had a ton of fun getting up there, just being a part of what they were doing. We loved on a whole lot of people. Just so fun what he was able to do. We spent time with each of our pastors. That's Pastor Daniel and his wife. There's Pastor Willick, Pastor Doucette, Ben, who's one of our Bible school students, and Pastor Daniel. We visited each of their homes. We prayed over them, spoke prophetically into them. These are some of our students, spending time with them, just speaking into their lives, hearing what God is doing. Yeah, pretty sweet, those faces. This is Ben, our Bible school student. He did a lot of translating for us. That's his little boy, his wife, and his 8-day-old baby girl that we got to go see. So sweet to see him growing in what God's preparing him for. This is Mackenzie. Mackenzie came to all of our women's conferences and took notes at each one of them, just hungry for what Jesus wants to do. This is a picture one of the last nights. It's not a good picture, but hopefully you can see what an amazing family we are in Christ. This is our 9th year of going there, and these are deep relationships year after year after year that we're building. We had a wedding shower for Steve and Darlene. They got married in December. He's our newest pastor. We had to explain to them, no, we're not going to get you all wet because they don't know what showers are, but we just loved on them and gave them a lot of things that are going to bless their home, and then they were playing with the decorations at the end. Pretty cute little picture there. We washed dishes, we cooked, we served. That's a lot of times not what women or teams do. They are the ones that receive the serving instead of the ones that do the serving, but we want people to understand we're there to be like Jesus. We go to serve instead of be served. So that's some of the really, you know, like highlight reel things of what we were doing, but really there's so much more. Like, we taught them to play Twister. And we blew tons of bubbles. And this is Frederick. Frederick is one of the deacons in one of the churches. He has cataracts, and so he almost cannot see anything. So just to see the joy as he's trying to catch those little bubbles is pretty sweet. He goes to see a doctor Monday for another consultation. These are not simple cataracts. We keep trying to find a way to restore his sight to him. He's married. He has kids. He works in his garden. We would love to see Jesus do a miracle, so pray for him on Monday. We jumped rope. That's Pastor Daniel showing us how to do it over there. Was a ton of fun, played jacks. This is Chuck the Truck. Chuck the Truck took us all over the countryside, and we spent a lot of time with Pastor Doucette shouting things like, "Ande dam," which means get down, essentially, so that we could hide from Carl the Branch, which was reaching out to grab us much of the time that we were going. It's Fonda Rap, by the way, which I regret to say you don't get to hear tonight. But it's pretty awesome. We became intrepid cockroach and mouse hunters. That's Rachel, our hero, saving us from those vicious cockroaches. You can tell it's about an inch big, enough to strike terror into all of us. Oh, we had a lot of fun. We taught people to play very silly games, but they always had really deep spiritual applications. I want you to know. They loved it. Oh, then there was the day when Daniel found out that the tarp that he was using for his cooking tent was really a game. If you just get everybody to hold it around the outside and lift it up and run into the middle, it totally derails the cleanup that we were trying to do. And for about 2 hours, felt like, again, up, run into the middle. Hey, drag people in off the street. You gotta try this. It's so much fun. It was awesome. It was awesome. And then we finished cleaning up. We taught them to play the game Speak Out. Anybody had the privilege of playing that game? We're sure it was invented by a dentist as a torture thing. This is our Bible school students. Lori, she put it in her mouth and she was laughing so hard, not one word came out. She just kept laughing. It was so cute. Nice teeth. Yep. Good enunciation that Janice has. We just have to be silly, just because we have to. But as you look at these beautiful faces and see some of the smiles and the hearts of these people, that's a little brother and sister walking together, and a couple of women at our conference. I want to kind of shift gears for just a second, because when it's my time to put together a presentation like this, it's a balancing act for me. It really is. Because we want to just shout out about everything that God has done. And we want to say thank you to all of you for what you and your contributions and your prayers, what you got to be a part of making happen. And we really want to show how much work God is doing. And yet, we don't want to just pretend like it's Disneyland. Because it really isn't. You saw everyone dressed up in their Sunday best because everybody has one nice outfit that they wear to church. That's just tradition. What you don't see, because we won't show the poverty and the degradation to try and tug at heartstrings, what you don't see is that many of them have just rags and no shoes to wear the rest of the week, or that they came to these conferences without eating. Or that they go home to mud huts with dirt floors and they sleep on a piece of cardboard on the ground and they have no water and no electricity and they can't go to school and things like that that rend our hearts and would rend your hearts if you were there. And we want you to know that it's hard serving there. Okay? I mean, yes, we have way, way, way too much fun while we're there. But in 9 years, you run into a lot of heartache. And there's some disillusionment, and you get tired, and you come home sick, and there's a cost to be paid to do this kind of work, and we want to balance it out and let you know there's so much joy, but that the reality is that mission work is hard, and so we choose to stay involved because the beauty of doing His will and seeing the Spirit unleashed and seeing what happens when people just are willing to flat out be used by Jesus, pressed beyond all their limits. That's what keeps us going back over and over and over again. And it's what I hope you catch a glimpse of as our passion in this church. But I also want to leave you with a thought and maybe even a bit of a challenge that we're a global missions church, which means we want to be global in our missions, but we want to be local. And that we believe that God is calling us to the same kind of radical, intentional, passionate sharing of our beautiful Jesus and our beautiful faith stories here, just as much as we do it there. It's not like we get on a plane and magic fairy dust turns us into superheroes. No, we are just ordinary people who are trying to answer the call of God, and we're trying to answer it here in the same way that we are answering it there. So I really want to call you to intentionally live the Jesus life and to reach out to your neighbors and to pray for the sick and to pay attention to, you know, the woodlies, the little taxi drivers or the store clerks or those that are sick, because we want to be able to tell these exact same kind of stories here that we get to share when we come back from a really beautiful and exciting trip around the world. Amen? So if that's you, if you're somebody that would say, I'm signing up for this, whether it's global or local, I'm signing up, would you please stand? I just want to pray over you and kind of commission you as we make ourselves available for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Father, you see us here. We are nothing special, but we do carry the light of a very special God within us. And Lord, we're just saying, here we are in all our ordinariness and saying we want to be available to be used. Lord, there's a world out there that needs to hear the life and the hope and the joy and the laughter that we carry because of what you have done in our lives. We want to reach out and offer that to people. We don't want to just play church. We just don't want to do it on autopilot, God. We want to be those who intentionally go out and live for you, globally and locally, making a difference in the name of Jesus. So God, I commission these people. As we go out, would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you give us strength that's beyond our own and an excitement to look for those divine opportunities, those divine appointments where you send people right into our paths that need a word or a touch or a scripture or a prayer that we can offer to them. Lord, here we are. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen.